Bringing you the latest research, tools, and common sense tips you need to get and stay healthy. It's Talk Healthy Today. Here's Lisa Davis.
I am sure we have all felt out of balance in our lives. I know that I have. I mean, there has been many times where I've wondered, okay, so I have so much to do, I can barely breathe. And then I've had other times in my life where I'm bored out of my mind and wondering, why is there nothing to do? Now, of course, my mother used to always say when I was bored when I was a kid that there's always something to do. You just got to find it. But that's beside the point. My point is that sometimes it's hard to find the balance. And so I am thrilled to have Brianna Borton here. We're going to talk about her fantastic book that she wrote with Dr. Peter Borton, The Well Life, How to Use Structure, Sweetness, and Space to Create Balance, Happiness, and Peace. Brianna, welcome to Talk Healthy Today.
Hey, Nate.
It's so nice to have you on the program. I was immediately drawn into your book. I love in part one, Foundation, you write, there's a part of you that knows that life can be absolutely magical rather than a perpetual struggle or a series of compromises. You've seen people embody this magic and chances are they left an unforgettable impression on you. And then you go on to talk about that. It's easy, you know, to succumb to doubt and disappointment. There are ways that we can make a life of balance. How did you come to this way of thinking?
Well, my husband and I have spent a lot of time working with people really like one-on-one. He is an acupuncturist and an herbalist, and I am an Ayurvedic practitioner. And so we've spent a lot of our time, you know, working with individuals that were out of balance. And, you know, we first started approaching it from a very, you know, physical body kind of way of, you know, doing acupuncture, massage, and these very physical things. And what we found is that many of our clients were letting us know, you know, when I'm with you, I feel great. Like, I feel balanced, I feel peaceful, I feel good. And then I go home, and that might last like a day or two. And then I forget how to feel balanced again in myself. How do you do it? Because they saw us, you know, we had businesses and kids and all of the things, and yet we were very calm and like peaceful individuals. And we didn't realize that we were doing something that different than everyone else until a lot of people started asking us, how do you do it? And so at that point, we realized it was really important for us to redefine what whole wellness was and how we could, it needs to include all these other things, having healthy and loving relationships and having an abundance of money and feeling like your purpose and passion are out in the world. And so as we were redefining that, we started to look and see how we had helped ourselves get there and how we had helped other clients get there and what were the real elements that we were bringing to the table when we saw that be successful. And so as we started dissecting into our lives and other people's lives, we really found a pattern of needing three basic elements of structure, sweetness, and space. And so that's what brought us to writing this book.
You know, I love the incorporating sweetness, what feeds your soul, structure, an intentional framework, and space, purposeful time for reflection. Start with what feeds your soul.
Yeah, so sweetness is, you know, all of the feel-good, soul-nourishing, really enjoying things that we do in life. And what we see so often is people postponing these things. So there are things like, you know, getting a massage or having a friends over for dinner or making art or playing music, and they get really lowly prioritized on our to-do list. So we want to make sure that everything else is done first, and then maybe we'll try to squeeze in sweetness, or we'll do it on the weekend, or maybe on our vacation, or maybe when we retire. And when we see people doing this, we've noticed that there's a real lack of presence and enjoyment of life, and that certainly isn't balanced. When we're not enjoying our lives, there's something off. Life is actually meant to be enjoyed. And so we encourage people to start bringing sweetness into their life every day, to use your structure, which I'm sure we'll talk about soon, using you know, schedule, to making sure that you schedule in sweet activities and not last, you know, making sure that they get in there first, so that you are making time for the things that really nourish you. And it's important because, you know, not only just so you enjoy life, which I feel like that should be enough, but also it really nourishes us so that we're able to be more productive, more happy, we can contribute more in our communities. It really feeds so many different levels of ourselves. And so we encourage people to do that. And then also to make every moment sweeter. So we can go to work and we can either drudge through and do like the same old, or we can remember that feeling of when we first got the job, when we were wanting that job, when we were applying for it and like doing our best and excited to come to work and learn something new. And we can bring back that feeling for ourselves again and again so that we can show up and actually have sweetness in every moment rather than it just being, you know, these other activities. It can be in everything that we do, whether it's washing dishes or doing Excel spreadsheets. There's a sweetness that is there if we're just willing to be really present and experience it.
Oh, I completely agree. You know, yesterday was amazing. It was 58 degrees, which honestly felt like 80, you know, when you're in the Northeast and it's winter and you get a day like that. I mean, I was just sitting when my daughter was on the trampoline and I was sitting with my three dogs, which they bring me so much sweetness. I can't even tell you. And my daughter as well. And I was just soaking up the sun. I just spent an hour and a half shoveling off her trampoline. She was out with my husband. They went out for the day and I wanted to surprise her. And then I'm like, well, I might as well do the deck. And all of a sudden I'm shoveling everywhere. And it just was like, oh my gosh, it just felt so good. And when I was shoveling and in the moment, I wasn't thinking about all the things I could have been doing instead, or I had to catch up on some work. I was just so present. And just, even though it was hard work and my back is sore, that the sun on my face and feeling the warmth, it was just beautiful. Like trying to make an experience like that really matter, it was great. And it really did.
Yeah, it's amazing how much control we have, actually. We give away our control of our experience so much in life to, you know, actually to our brains that are just like going around and around and around and around and making up things instead of choosing. You know, and taking control and being like, I'm going to choose to really dive into this experience and get everything I can out of it.
Yeah, I think it's so important. Let's talk about structure. That's the intentional framework.
Yeah, so structure is, you know, our life architecture. Every way we get from point A to point B. So whether or not that's the way that you lay out your day so that you get the things done during your day that you need to, or the way that you maybe set a goal and break it down so that you can, you know, have the projects you need to do and the tasks you need to do and you schedule those. Or it could even be the way you lay out your kitchen so that you can cook a really nice meal in a way that it has ease and flow. So we all have a degree of structure, and it varies hugely person by person. Some of us are, you know, on a very thin structure. So I like the analogy we like to make is, like, if you wanted to cross a canyon, you could be crossing it on a tightrope. For sure you would get there. I mean, not for sure, but you probably get there. But along the way, you're going to feel anxiety, you're going to feel unsupported, and you're not going to feel like if anything goes wrong, you have a lot of freedom to move within, you know, the how life moves. So that's really like a very thin structure. So we see a lot of people doing that. And a lot of times when people create that kind of structure for themselves, it's because they feel like they don't want to be chained up by a structure. They want freedom. And so they think that freedom is the lack of structure rather than thinking that their structure could provide them freedom, which is we see that as a huge issue because it's generally not true. Or we also see people going kind of the total opposite way, trying to get across that canyon, and they build a like cement pipe that they're army crawling through. You're like, for sure, you're definitely getting across the canyon this time. But there's no enjoyment. Oh, yeah. It's like work the whole time. There's no view. It's like, I'm going to get there, but I'm definitely not enjoying it. And so that's another option that a lot of us end up doing because we're so set on the goal that we forget that it's actually our life the whole time along the way. And maybe having a view and incorporating sweetness and some space would actually make it so that we enjoy the process. Because once you get there, if you've just gone through a cement tunnel, it can often feel like the end result isn't even that satisfying. So what we encourage people to do is create more like an elegant bridge across the canyon where you can see outside and see the views, where if the wind blows, it's flexible enough that it's not going to crumble and that you're able to get there. But along the way, it's all very gorgeous. And so that's the kind of structure that we really encourage people to create in their daily lives. And a lot of the time, we're operating from structures that were adopted from either our parents or our teachers or our communities at large without consciously creating them. And we haven't sat down a lot of times and been like, oh, what is my structure and is it working for me? And so even just bringing our consciousness to it to say, oh, this is how I'm operating currently, and actually, I don't know if that's working for me. Let me find out. And so just bringing our attention to it so that you can see whether or not your structures in life are working for you or not working for you. And if they're not working for you, you have the chance to rebuild. And that's one of the great things about being human. We get to just choose differently and create new structures.
Oh, we definitely do. You know, in your book, you have true balance isn't static. And we have to be flexible and we have to be able to change the plan and analyze. And like you said, if we're just doing things that our parents did, but it's not working for us, we need to stop and question that.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah, I think it's so important. All right, let's talk a little bit about space, purposeful time for reflection.
Yeah, so space is purposeful time for reflection. It is the time where we disconnect from everything else. And a huge amount of that right now is what we call the human data stream, where we're being inundated with emails and texts and Facebook posts and likes and all of this barrage of information and entertainment too, actually both. And so we are so hooked into that that we don't take enough time to disconnect from that and reconnect to ourselves. To reconnect to, you know, for everyone it's different, your higher self or God or nature, whatever gives you that feeling. And for everyone it's really different, and we have no need to convince anyone of one or another, just that whatever it is for you, that you're taking the time to connect to that and making it as much a priority as, you know, anything else in your life, as much as your job or sweetness. Because when you reconnect to yourself, there's this huge, vast amount of creativity available. And in space is where creativity and innovation and all of the, like, outside-the-box problem-solving really happens. And if we're always connected in, there isn't a lot of room for us to have thoughts that are not thoughts we've already had. And so one of the examples that we use in our book is, if you want something new to come into your conscious mind, you have to make space for your unconscious to come in. And that is really true for, you know, if you want to have more connection to maybe like your inner wisdom. And it's also as true if you want to have a creative solution to a problem at work. Both require that you have space in your conscious mind for the unconscious to come into. And that space is really created by taking time to deliberately practice creating space through meditation or a walk in nature, or could even be through prayer, depending on, you know, what feels best to you. But we do encourage everyone to meditate because it is such deliberate practice of space. And when we deliberately practice space, more space is created through the rest of our lives. There's this saying, I can't remember who said it right now, but they say, if you feel like you don't have time to meditate for an hour, then meditate for 2 hours. Because the time is created by slowing down. We think that we'll get more done if we just move super fast, but actually if we take the time to slow down and create space, we become more deliberate, we think better, we choose better, and we tend to start to plan our lives with more intention, and actually we get as much done or more while also having a more ease in the process.
Well, you know, I mentioned earlier about being in that moment of shoveling the snow and feeling the sun and being mindful. And I think the meditation helps us enjoy those moments even more.
Mm-hmm. We definitely
agree.
You know,
I think that can make a difference. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I definitely think that when we slow down, we become more present. So it's how space actually creates more sweetness. And all of these elements really interplay together. So when you slow down, when you create more time to be really present, then there's more sweetness. And when there's more sweetness and we are nourished, then we're able to make better structures. And when we have great structures, we make our structures include sweetness and space. They're all really intertwined.
I love that. I was about to say, it's like one feeds on the other. And the stronger one gets, the stronger the others are going to get as well.
Definitely.
Oh, I love that. Well, in the book, The Well Life, How to Use Structure, Sweetness, and Space to Create Balance, Happiness, and Peace, you have a section, part three, who are you and what do you want? And chapter eight, define your superpowers, discover what lights you up. I love the way you write that, because what lights me up is doing shows like this. And, you know, I studied health media and I have a master's in public health. And when I was learning about all the great ways that you can educate people in a fun and informative way, and I get to talk to fascinating people like you, I am lit, you know, I just absolutely love it. How do people get in touch with that? You know, I don't know if it's luck or just, I mean, I think you kind of build your own path but sometimes you're on a path and you're like, this doesn't feel right. How do you get where you want to go?
Yeah, I mean, we encourage people to do really three main things to discover that. One is to start to identify your core values. And when you get in touch with what your core values are, it really starts to inform your life so much. So to do that, a lot of times you can look in your past and see, like, what were the times where I was the happiest or I felt the most alive? What are the things I see in other people that I so value, like my closest friends? What are the core values that they have that I just cherish? And when you start to look at these things, you can start to see a pattern of, oh, wow, my core values really have to do with integrity and beauty and, you know, compassion. Or maybe it's like innovation and adventure. And you know, you can start to see, like, oh, wow, I really am. There's things that tie together where I can start to see what my core values are that I've already been identifying but haven't actually acknowledged. And so once you know what your core values are, it really helps to inform your decisions and the way you will move forward in life. And then the next thing is to identify your gifts. So what are you really good at? And sometimes it's hard for us to do that for ourselves. So having a close friend or family member help walk you through that, or many of them, asking them, you know, what do you see as my biggest gift that I'm bringing to the world? And they usually see you better than you see yourself. And so you can start to identify some of the gifts that you're bringing already. And, you know, you can also see times where, when have people thanked you the most? When have you gotten the most acknowledgement? When have you felt like you made the biggest difference in the world? And then you can start to see that those gifts and maybe the ones that other people have mentioned to you really start to show you what your real gifts are. And so once we know our core values, like where we want to live from, like the energy that we want to embody while we're living, and then the gifts are like how we want to do it out in the world, like what are we already really strong at, rather than trying to fix our weaknesses all the time, which is so common.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm not good at spelling. I'm going to like go take a spelling class. You're like, well, sure. There's also spell check, and you're really good at this other thing. Why don't you just focus on getting even better at that and let spell check take care of this other thing, you know? And the more we live from our real strengths, the more we start to value other people's real strengths too. And then you can be in partnerships or collaboration with people who have strengths that you don't have. So you don't have to be without them. You just might not have to build them yourself.
Go ahead. Oh, I was just going to say, it's funny because, I mean, when you're saying this, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, that's what happened to me when I was going to school for my master's in public health. I had chosen health ed and a focus on health communications. And then I took epidemiology and I thought it was so fascinating. And even though I'm terrible at math and I absolutely despise it, I was thinking, you know what, I'm going to challenge myself. I want to do this. So I met with the main epidemiology professor and we talked for a long time. And he said, look, I talked to other professors and you are a people person. You are not going to be happy sitting in an office crunching numbers, even though epidemiology has other fascinating aspects. You need to go with where your strengths are. And I am so thankful he said that because I don't know what I was thinking.
Oh, I've been there a million times. Like, I'm like, I want to do this thing because it looks like fun. And then I start going down that road and I'm like, wow, like, not that we can never challenge ourselves to learn new things, but when we play to our strengths, we really get more lit up, like you're saying. You know, you're now in a position where you're doing something that really lights you up, and that's the end goal, not to avoid, you know, the goal isn't to avoid challenging things, but to get you to a place where every day when you're living your life, you feel really lit up. And so going towards your gifts is a way to get there. And then the last part is just to figure out what your life purpose is. And this can be, I feel like this is like one of the most challenging things for so many people that we interact with. When our clients and people that we work with, like individually, on creating their life purpose, it's often very challenging for people. And we feel like people that know their life purpose, like somehow we just like got lucky, or I don't know, got like all of a sudden they like woke up to their life purpose. And we really encourage people that you can choose your life purpose and try it on and see how it goes, and then tweak it until it's perfect, rather than having to feel like it is absolutely perfect in the very first moment. And so we actually have two different ways of approaching finding out your life purpose in the book. One of them is a very structured, like, who do you enjoy serving? How do you enjoy doing it? Putting it together until you kind of figure out a way, something that feels really good to you. And then the other way is more like a space approach, where you just free write and free write until it, like, something comes to you that actually moves you to almost tears, if not tears. Because there is something in all of us that needs to get out there, and it's just often so covered up with all of these other things, you know, things from our parents, things from ourselves, things from, you know, just living life and being told all sorts of things from the media and other people. And there's so many shiny things in the world. It's easy to get distracted. And so as we're trying to figure out our purpose, a lot of times this is what's in our mind filling it up. Like, oh, I guess my purpose should be da-da-da-da-da. But when we take the time to go really inside our heart and soul, there's something very special in everyone. And if we take the time to just go through and free write, and sometimes this takes like an hour, to just write and write and write and write and write and write, and you might get to something you're like, oh, maybe, and then you keep writing and you're like, oh, no, not that. And it can feel like a little disappointing. But if you keep doing it until you get to the point where you're like, oh, yes, that's it. There's a place for everyone where it's like, that's it. And yes, it takes time and energy, but it's definitely not luck. And I think that it's like a huge misnomer that like people on their life purpose are lucky. It's not lucky. Mm-hmm. They've done the work to figure it out, and now they're living that, and everyone can do it. And so I think that living your life purpose is the main thing that can bring us light into everything that we do. For instance, actually, right before we got on the phone, I was doing Excel spreadsheets, which I hate. It's like the part of my job I don't like. I'm like, not my favorite thing. But I'm delighted to be doing it because it's part of my whole life purpose. So rather than like me waking up this morning and being like, oh, that's the thing I have to do today, I was like, oh, today I get to do the thing I like that's slightly challenging, but it's still part of my purpose. And it's like an aspect of my purpose that challenges me and that I get to explore, and that then I use those then to give bonuses to my staff, and that feels really good. So there's so much more alignment for me then, and that can be true for everyone.
Oh, I agree. Brianna, before I let you go today, and I could talk to you forever. I think you are so wonderful. What is the Dragon Tree? Because I know that you and Dr. Borden are the founders of the Dragon Tree.
Yeah, so the Dragon Tree started off as a spa. So we started as a spa 13 years ago. We have a spa in Portland, Oregon. Now we have two there. We have one in the airport and one downtown. And then we also have another spa in Boulder, Colorado. So we started as a holistic day spa. And then from there, we started to create all sorts of products. So we have bath and body products, and then products for muscle and joint release, and then herbal tinctures. We sell those in our spa, and we sell them online, and we sell them in a lot of retailers. And then we moved into more personal development things, kind of along the same lines as the Well Life. We have a planner where we help people figure out these kinds of things, like their life purpose and those things, and not just figure them out like we do in the book, but then get them into their calendar so that you're really living this way, and that you're like breaking down these big goals and actually living it. And then we also have courses on nutrition, and we have one on creating your life, and we also have a course on living pain-free. So we do a lot of different things, but all under our bigger, broader idea of what real wellness is. So we consider ourselves really just a wellness company that's very focused on whole life wellness.
It is fantastic. The book, again, is The Well Life, How Do You Structure Sweetness and Space to Create Balance, Happiness, and Peace. Brianna, tell us all the ways we can find you and your wonderful work.
Yeah, so if people want to, you can find The Well Life on Amazon or any bookstore, but you can also, if you want to see an adorable little video of Peter and I, you can go to book.com, where you can also download a free sample chapter of the book to see if you jive with it. And then you can also find us at thedragontree.com, and you can find out all of the things that we do there. And then Peter and I both have our own personal websites if you want to read just like personal musings from us. Mine is briannaborton.com, and Peter's is drpeterborton.com.
Well, this has been absolutely fantastic. I just have such a great time speaking with you, and I just encourage everyone to check out your book. I want to thank everyone for listening to Talk Healthy today. If you're enjoying the show, please go and subscribe on iTunes, rate and review. It makes a huge difference. I want to thank everyone for listening today, and stay well.